Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in the next half hour, we're going to update a story that I've been following in one fashion or another for a number of years, or really an area of inquiry, namely the alien okey-doke, or E.T. okey-doke, as I call it, to make a very long story very short in a lecture entitled The Political Implications of the UFO Phenomenon and the E.T. Myth. And in a number of half-hour For the Record segments, I've discussed the fact that UFOs, or so-called flying saucers, are real, but they don't come from outer space. They're advanced aeronautical devices from right here on Earth. The stealth aircraft are part of the same line of aeronautical R&D, and there's nothing mysterious about them. They've simply been kept secret through spin control and through classification of documents. The deception is with regard to ETs or aliens. There are no aliens, at least there aren't any aliens that have ever visited us. The whole E.T. okey-doke is just exactly that. It's a myth. I would note that as noted in an earlier half-hour segments, 42% of college graduates polled, 42% think we've been visited by aliens in flying saucers and that they are either among us or have given us technology or whatever. That is a staggering figure. And again, that's 42% of college graduates. I'll guarantee you that belief is a lot more entrenched among non-college graduates, and it's a very, very scary phenomenon indeed. And we're going to take a look at a number of different things in tonight's broadcast, which should give us even more reason to examine in a very critical and alarmed fashion the perpetuation and dissemination of the E.T. myth. That myth is now catching on big in certain parts of the Silicon Valley. This is from the San Francisco Examiner of Tuesday, October 5th of 1999. On the front page of the business section of the Examiner, we have the following story from Matt Beer, that's spelled just like in the alcoholic beverage. He's the Examiner's technology writer. This is headlined, Silicon Valley Meets the X-Files, subtitled, Execs Curious About Possible Link Between UFOs and Technology. What this is about is a fellow named Joe Firmage, a Silicon Valley entrepreneur who has garnered a fair amount of publicity by disseminating his belief that, yes, we've been visited by aliens and they've given us our technology, and that's where our high technology comes from. That's a disturbing enough notion. What's more disturbing is that people are beginning to believe this, and he is going to get funding. This, again, from the San Francisco Examiner of 10-5-99, it reads, If Silicon Valley execs can invest in internet companies that have little hope of making a profit, it's probably no surprise they're willing to pony up millions for a company that is looking into the link between space aliens and high technology. The details are somewhat sketchy, but sources have told the Examiner that on October 12th, scientists, including some from NASA's Ames Research Center, will mingle at an unknown Bay Area location with a handful of top Silicon Valley executives. This last sentence again, because it's a doozy. The details are somewhat sketchy, but sources have told the Examiner that on October 12th, scientists, including some from NASA's Ames Research Center, will mingle at an unknown Bay Area location with a handful of top Silicon Valley executives. The event is being sponsored by the International Space Sciences Organization. That organization was founded and is headed by Joe Firmage, F-I-R-M-A-G-E, who has become known as Silicon Valley's Space Alien Ambassador. Firmage is the 28-year-old founder and former CEO of USWeb, a Santa Clara-based web consulting firm. He stepped down from that post last November after he published a website in which he detailed his belief that high-technology advances are actually gifts from aliens who crash-landed in the desert near Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. By the way, in July of 1997, just after the 50th anniversary of the Roswell incident, I recorded a half-hour segment in which I discussed, a couple of half-hour segments, discussed the E.T. okey-doke and the reality of, quote, flying saucers, unquote, in the Earth's atmosphere, not from outer space, but from right here on Earth, and developed at least partially under the auspices of Project Paperclip, the importation of Nazi scientists into the United States at the end of World War II. And in that very same segment, we also talked about overtly fascist elements attempting to perpetuate the notion or to disseminate the notion that we got our high technology from the aliens. And one of the books that made that preposterous claim had a foreword by none other than Strom Thurmond, the senator who heads the Senate Armed Services Committee. Going back to this article from 10-5-99 in the Examiner, speaking of Firmage again, He stepped down from that post last November after he published a website in which he detailed his beliefs that high technology advances are actually gifts from aliens who crash-landed in the desert near Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. Firmage also claimed he was visited by a space invader who hovered over his bed surrounded by a brilliant white light. I wonder whether perhaps somehow Firmage got himself placed under mind control. It sounds like it. Continuing. Firmage stepped down from the company after shareholders protested that his outside pursuits could taint the corporation. Since then, Firmage has founded Intend Change, another internet consulting firm based in Santa Clara. According to three sources who were asked to remain anonymous, Firmage intends to announce that a technology officer from a large Fortune 100 company has agreed to head up International Space Sciences, an organization dedicated to studying advances in physics and their relationship to UFO phenomena. These sources say the organization is slated to receive some $100 million in funds from Silicon Valley executives who agree with Firmage's beliefs. This last sentence again, this is a doozy. These sources say the organization is slated to receive some $100 million in funds from Silicon Valley executives who agree with Firmage's beliefs. Besides space alien visits, Firmage believes, according to this website, that, quote, there is stunningly good evidence that UFOs are real starships, unquote. He adds that, quote, whatever did or did not happen at Roswell in 1947 will ultimately prove to be a rounding error when the implications of this phenomenon become widely known, unquote. Firmage, reached by phone Monday, confirmed he is organizing the October 12th meeting. He confirmed that the group would be talking about, quote, advances in propulsion technologies, unquote, but he stopped short of saying UFOs would be discussed. Again, quoting, we will be taking the discussion to its logical conclusions, unquote, he said. Wherever it goes, it goes. And again, apparently, at least according to the anonymous sources, or the ones who were asked to remain anonymous, Firmage is getting someone who is slated to get $100 million in funding from Silicon Valley executives who agree with his beliefs on extraterrestrials. For those members of the listening audience who have poo-pooed the significance of my taking this line of inquiry in a political program, well, this is a political phenomena. When 42% of college graduates think we've been visited by aliens, and when Silicon Valley executives are going to pony up $100 million for Joe Firmage's organization to investigate, same. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen, and it needs to be looked at. Apparently, someone who is taking a look at this is the federal government, and specifically the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. And apparently, according to that first article, some elements from NASA are going to be involved with this Firmage conference. The following article comes from the San Francisco Examiner of Friday, October 8th of 1999. The first article was from the Examiner of October 5th. This is by the same writer. This also is on the front page of the business section. This is by the same writer, Matt Beer, the Examiner technology writer, and it's headlined, Feds Curious About High-Tech Conclave on Extraterrestrials, subtitled NASA Agent Probes Silicon Valley Meeting with UFO Theorist. And this reads as follows. An upcoming private meeting between Silicon Valley high-tech executives, NASA scientists, and a high-profile UFO enthusiast has sparked an investigation by a government agency. Special Agent Keith Tate, T-A-T-E, an investigator with the Long Beach branch of NASA's Office of Inspector General, has been calling Silicon Valley sources, including the Examiner, seeking information about a planned Tuesday meeting between research scientists and Silicon Valley high-tech executives. At that meeting, first reported by the Examiner, attendees, including scientists from the NASA Ames Research Center in Mountain View, will discuss propulsion technologies. Quote, we're trying to determine if any proprietary information will be talked about at that meeting, said Tate, again quoting, we're very concerned about this, unquote. Staging the meeting will be the International Space Sciences Organization. Its founder is Joe Firmage, a 28-year-old high-tech executive who made headlines late last year when he published a website and book in which he recounted his beliefs in space aliens. On the ISSO site, he claims to have been visited in his bedroom one night by such an alien. Firmage also has stated that some of the high technology of today was obtained from the legendary alien spacecraft crash. It should have been the rumored, not the legendary, but beginning again. Firmage also has stated that some of the high-tech technology of today was obtained from the legendary alien spacecraft crash at Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. Firmage stepped down from his post as CEO of the giant Santa Clara-based U.S. Web Internet consulting firm following his revelations due to shareholder concerns about his extraterrestrial pursuits. ISSO spokesman Tony Young had no comment on the NASA probe. Over the last several years, NASA has been researching an array of exotic propulsion technologies through a small program dubbed Breakthrough Propulsion Physics. Some of these techniques thumb their noses at Albert Einstein's theory of relativity, which postulates that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. Firmage, according to his website, believes, quote, there is stunningly good evidence that UFOs are real starships, unquote. He writes that, again quoting, whatever did or did not happen at Roswell in 1947 will ultimately prove to be a rounding error when the implications of this phenomenon become widely known. And again, UFOs are very real. They've been around for a long time. Just and from a common sense standpoint, the flying saucers are basically disc-shaped flying airfoils. So's a Frisbee. If the Wham-O Corporation can make a disc-shaped airfoil that'll fly, it's a safe bet that with all of our high technology, we've been doing it for quite some time. And in fact, the evidence suggests very strongly that the Foo Fighters and other devices seen by Allied airmen late in World War II were early German anti-aircraft devices, which were then developed under Project Paperclip into some of the, quote, UFOs, unquote. I wonder perhaps whether there is, in fact, one element of the government that's involved with the development of this technology, and whether that particular element of the government is even known to other elements of the government, and whether that element of the government might perhaps have its real loyalties to the underground Reich, really more of a fifth column within the government than an element of the government. That's something that I think needs to be very, very carefully considered. Also something to be very carefully considered is the relative ignorance of the American people and their willingness to embrace notions that human beings evolved from something other than the evolution of species, or human beings arose from something other than the evolution of species. Before we get back to the whole subject of UFOs, and we're going to turn to yet another issue of the San Francisco Examiner, this one from Friday, August 27th of 1999. This is a column by Rob Morris. By the way, that last article was from the Examiner of 10-8-99. This is from the San Francisco Examiner of 8-27-99, a column by Rob Morris, M-O-R-S-E, called Tree Hugger Turns Garden Hugger. And it talks about Al Gore. And skipping down, talking about the belief in creationism, the polls show that Americans consider education the number one issue in the country, yet polls also show that more than half of all Americans don't like the idea that humans evolved from other species, commonly called, quote, lower species. And more about the American people's misgivings about evolution. This from the New York Times of Tuesday, October 12th of 1999. This is datelined Boston. It's a column by Anthony Lewis entitled Something Rich and Strange, and talking about the growing belief in creationism, Anthony Lewis writes, the creationist position is certainly not a fringe belief nowadays. A Gallup poll taken in June for CNN and USA Today found that 68% of those surveyed favored teaching creationism along with evolution in public schools, 40% favored dropping evolution altogether and teaching children only the biblical version of creation. High-ranking American politicians have taken to condemning the idea of evolution. After the massacre in Columbine High School in Colorado in April, Representative Tom DeLay, the House Majority Whip, put the blame on the teaching of children, quote, that they are nothing but glorified apes who were evolutionized out of some primordial soup of mud. And that is something to take stock of. And Anthony Lewis concludes his column by writing, concern about aspects of American life is fair enough, but depriving children of the great ideas of science cannot make things better. We thought we had advanced since Galileo was silenced for advancing the theory that the Earth revolves around the sun. In For the Record segment 169, I dealt with a UFO, quote, channeling cult, unquote, called the Nine, and their contention that all human beings evolved from the Nine, who also represented themselves as the gods of Egypt, and maintained that human beings, all human beings on Earth were evolved from space creatures except for the Africans, and that they were not to be blamed for this. This is obviously a racist form of channeling or UFO or alien philosophy, which maintains basically that blacks are inferior to others because they are not evolved from our brothers from space. Again, that's related in FT in For the Record segment 169, available from Spitfire. One of the people who's done some of the best work on the E.T. okey-doke, and again, the notion that we've been visited by aliens is an okey-doke. There is no substance to it. There may be intelligent life somewhere in the universe other than ourselves, but we have yet to be visited by it. And if they're really intelligent, they'll give us a wide berth. There's damn little evidence of intelligent life on this planet, less and less as time goes on. But Jacques Vallée, a computer scientist and Ph.D. from Stanford University, has written a series of books about the alien deception, and we're going to excerpt one of these right now, a book I've read on some of the other programs in the past. It's called Revelations, subtitled Alien Contact and Human Deception. It's published in softcover by Ballantine Books, copyright 1991, and the ISBN number is 0-345-37566-1. And in the discussion of the E.T. myth and the deliberate deception on the part of elements within the intelligence community with regard to the origins of UFOs and also the belief in aliens and the as well as the association between various types of right-wing philosophy and belief in aliens and belief that we have been visited by aliens, well, Vallée discusses that subject at considerable length in Revelations. After talking about Robert Lazar, a fellow who claims to have been reverse engineering warp drive, or basically faster than light technology using a voltmeter, which is simply preposterous, Vallée has something very ominous to relate about a contact that he had from a colonel in Las Vegas. And this particular colonel obviously is a believer in the E.T. myth and was attempting to communicate same to Jacques Vallée and wanted to get Vallée involved with his activities. And I'm going to read this passage. I think it speaks for itself, bearing in mind the connection between right-wing and fascist philosophy and the E.T. myth and the growing belief in creationism, the growing irrationalism in this society in which people are looking for some explanation for human life other than evolution. Consider the following. Vallée writes in Revelations as follows. I had given my private address to Lazar's associates. Within days, I started receiving strange letters from a colonel in Las Vegas who invited me to spend 1 month, all expenses paid, with a group of 12 people who were preparing a major belief change in America. This last sentence again. Within days, I started receiving strange letters from a colonel in Las Vegas who invited me to spend 1 month, all expenses paid, with a group of 12 people who were preparing a major belief change in America. My background, he wrote, would be a definite advantage, unquote. The incentive for joining the group was to establish contact with the aliens. When I ignored the first letter, it included the logo of the group, a neo-Nazi design with an eagle clutching the SS symbol and a bunch of thunderbolts. The colonel sent me a second letter, even more specific. Quote, if you are sincere about contact with them, we can discuss it, but only if there is no government involvement, unquote. To show it meant business, my correspondent included detailed information, longitude and latitude of a certain UFO sighting dated May 1943. I had the feeling that the problem was entering a new and dangerous phase, and that feeling would soon be strengthened by the bewildering series of new revelations that came to light after Lazar had been discredited. Note several things. This colonel in Las Vegas was talking to Vallée and said that he did not want him to have any government involvement if he wanted to meet the, quote, aliens, unquote. And the group's logo was a neo-Nazi design with an eagle clutching the SS symbol and a bunch of thunderbolts and alluded to a UFO sighting in May of 43. Again, in other segments, I've developed information that, in fact, UFOs were anti-aircraft devices developed by the Nazis during the closing phase of the war. Notice that this colonel says he's part of a group of 12 people who were preparing a major belief change in America. Bear in mind FTR 169 in discussion there of the Nine and their notion that everybody on Earth has evolved from space people, except, of course, for the Africans, who shouldn't have that held against them. A fundamentally racist and Ariosophist UFO/ET philosophy. This notion that perhaps the Germans or the Nazis were evolved from space aliens who gave them their technology is peculiar, or is characteristic, of ongoing Nazi beliefs. We're going to touch back briefly on a book I've read in the past, and read from in the past, and for the record, segment 172. It's a book called Hitler's Priestess, subtitled Savitri Devi, The Hindu-Aryan Myth and Neo-Nazism, authored by Nicholas Goodrick Clark, and published in hardcover by the New York University Press, copyright 1998. And the ISBN number is 0-8147-3110-4. And there's discussion here of Samizdat Publishers, a neo-Nazi publisher, which has published much about the notion that ETs perhaps were hooked up with the Nazis and they gave them flying saucer technology, and that the Germans perhaps were evolved from people from outer space. Hitler's Priestess author Nicholas Goodrick Clark writes about Ernst Zundel and his neo-Nazi publishing house Samizdat as follows. Since the early 1970s, speaking of Zundel, his neo-Nazi publishing house Samizdat had been issuing tracts on Holocaust denial, including T.S. Christofferson's Auschwitz, Truth or Lie, 1974, which was a runaway success among anti-Zionists, the far right, and German patriots in the United States. It also had made money for Zundel and established Samizdat as a flourishing underground Nazi publishing concern. By the summer of 1979, more than 100,000 copies of the book in five languages had been sold. At this time, Zundel was also pandering to the market for mysteries and occultism with books on Nazi UFOs that were based at secret German post-war bases in Antarctica. Willibald Matern, a German émigré in Santiago de Chile, had spun a powerful tale of Nazi resurgence. His book, UFO, Unidentified Flying Object, Last Secret Weapon of the Third Reich, 1974, described how thousands of Nazi UFOs will one day fly forth from the South Pole to restore German world power against a scenario of increasing racial chaos and economic catastrophe in a final act of deliverance. Matern's work was a resounding underground success in West Germany, linking the market for mysteries and extraterrestrial visitations with millenarian myths of German salvation. Zundel lost no time in publishing an abridged English-language version which introduced yet more occult speculations. Did the Nazis in Antarctica gain access to the inner Earth, long ago described in Nordic legends and sagas and assiduously cultivated by the Thule Society? Had the Nazis discovered long-hidden secrets on their expeditions to the Himalayas and Tibet? Perhaps extraterrestrials from other galaxies had assisted the Germans with the saucer projects, having recognized their receptiveness to the new technology. Perhaps this collaboration was based on some shared ancestral kinship. Zundel recalled Reinhold Schmidt's account of a Saturnian spacecraft whose crew spoke German and behaved like German soldiers and speculated whether the German nation was indeed a colony of Saturn long since settled on Earth. Why were the Germans so different, unquote? Could this explain why the Germans always excel as soldiers, engineers, and technologists? Was Hitler planted on this planet to pull back Western civilization from the brink of degenerate self-extinction? And I think the answers to many of those things suggest themselves. But this is to point out that, in fact, belief in ETs can be very, very nicely melded to an overtly Nazi philosophy, and in fact have been in much of the contemporary Nazi culture. Bear in mind that colonel who contacted Valet, thinking of Anton Valet of the Church of Satan, but Jacques Valet, and basically said, keep the government out of this if you want to basically make contacts with aliens. One of the things I wonder about is whether perhaps the development of those flying saucers and the perpetuation of the E.T. okey-doke and the notion that we have been visited by aliens, that perhaps the Germans are descended from outer space and so forth, whether perhaps the people believing in that constitute a Nazi fifth column within this country, something that I have ruminated about in numerous broadcasts in the past. I've also noted, as I mentioned in For the Record segments 173 called Hearts and Minds, that a number of different milieu are being used and different avenues of approach are being used in order to win people over to a Nazi or quasi-Nazi philosophy. I've spoken about elements of New Age philosophy that have been used in this regard, the Nine, by the way, being an example of that. Andreev Buharich, involved with the Nine, has links to the mind control programs this country's intelligence service is engaged in. And I want to reiterate something that I stressed in the Hearts and Minds section, namely the Hearts and Minds segments, namely that the very type of research that I do, not my research, but research into political conspiracies, has been used in this very fashion. To make a long story short, once somebody realizes that a lot of our history is lies, for example, Lee Harvey Oswald did not kill President Kennedy, it leaves them in something of a relativistic mindset. They begin wondering, well, perhaps they may begin wondering, well, what is true? Maybe the Holocaust didn't happen. In that regard, I cite a bizarre comic book. It's called Luftwaffe 1946. This is obviously something of a quasi-Nazi or a Nazi-infatuated group of people. It's subtitled The Families of Altered Wars, and this is called Project Saucer. And this is Luftwaffe 1946, apparently issue number, well, I don't know, but it's by Ted Nomura and Ben Dunn, and it basically talks about the Nazi flying saucers and links them with all sorts of things, and it's a very complex and, frankly, fantastic document, fantastic in the most literal sense of the word. It's born of fantasy. What I found very disturbing in this particular letter is a letter to the editors of Luftwaffe 1946. And this is a letter specifically to Ted Nomura about the Luftwaffe 1946 Project Saucer comic book that basically talks about Nazi UFOs and their superior technology, etc. Dear Ted, skipping down, I am particularly intrigued with your Project Saucer subplot. Again, you are dealing with material which has interested me for many years. I am enclosing a copy of my latest book, Alien Agenda, for your perusal. I think you will find the Saucers of the Reich section of Chapter 3 especially interesting. I hope it may benefit your research into Project Saucer. And skipping down, speaking of the Third Reich, the real horror of the Reich was not that a few sadistic guards killed wards of the state, but that a bureaucracy devoid of compassion and responsibility was created which could methodically order the deaths of thousands. Notice I said thousands. I'm not getting into the numbers game of the Holocaust. The author is Jim Mars, the author of The Crossfire, one of the books that influenced Oliver Stone in the JFK movie. That was an excellent movie, but this is very disturbing to see Jim Mars basically engaging in Holocaust denial. The contemporary state of Holocaust denial is that, well, only a few thousand were killed, or only thousands were killed and they weren't gassed, they died of disease, etc. And Jim Mars is echoing the Holocaust denial line to a T in this particular publication. So again, people should be extremely careful of the E.T. okey-doke. It could very easily lead to the development of a totalitarian system and is already being very overtly linked to a Nazi and totalitarian and racist mindset. That concludes this segment. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.